Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
That is the truth. That is the word. It's time for ancestral blueprints. When we move from blind love to awake love, what does that mean? On the Ask Life Coach IDA radio show, we've been talking about falling in love, because the whole idea of love is ever expanding, ever evolving. We are ever evolving, ever expanding. And so it's an ongoing thing on a day-to-day basis. Every moment you got to find an opportunity to tweak, to do something different, to expand, to say yes. And as Reverend Deborah Johnson said last night, to give yourself permission to experience your heart's desires. What do you want? What do you really want? Well, let's start with knowing who you are first.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, we are free, we are wonderful, we are whole, and we are the answer that we are looking for. We are the answer to the war in the world. We're in war again. As a matter of fact, we're saying America is at war again, but the world is at war. Now, let's not forget, they're still making their people at love. So let's not get it twisted. But every time we see something like that out pictured, it reflects the consciousness of humanity. And we have to remember that we are the prayers of our ancestors, which makes us the revival of a love story. We'll be back.
Your soul alone, a ship that's lost at sea. When he walked out on me, I didn't have a plan B. Where do I go? Deep inside.
Reminding us that we are here to revive the love story and that you are it. I am it. We give ourselves an opportunity to review, research, rediscover, uncover what is true by recognizing and remembering that we come from a long line of strong people who are survivors, who stayed alive long enough for us to exist today. We are all connected, and we're going to unpack that during the show. I love ancestral blueprints. I hear people say, I feel some kind of way. And they mean it in different ways. And I almost said that. I feel some kind of way today. I think I'm just in the vortex of this conversation. So let's just honor ourselves, our space, where we are in our bodies, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, ancestrally. Yes. And just call ourselves back to this moment. Good afternoon. Good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself, for being with yourself, for showing up for yourself, and tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when we change with the change, when we embrace the change, when we surrender to something deeper, something more. When we make ourselves available for new awareness, we can't help but make a difference. So no matter what is going on in the world, be it a disease, be it war, we recognize that we can do something to be part of the healing. And it's not even about blame. It is about asking ourselves, first of all, recognizing that what we're seeing is a reflection of the consciousness of humanity. War is an outpicturing of the internal war. Dis-ease, it's the dis-ease within each and every one of us. And then sometimes we're so caught up in our own dis-ease, we don't have time or compassion for others. Thankfully, there are those who don't, who does. But you know, wherever you are is wherever you are. So when we see something going in another country and we don't really talk about it much, well, we get to see how we're being in the world. Welcome to Ancestral Blueprints. We are truly connected, and there's a soul map that we're all we're weaving together. So let's weave this web with awareness, with acknowledgement. And your conductors today, your facilitators today, your host today is Lisa Iverson, and yours truly, Life Coach Ade, also known as Ade Anifushi, Life Coach Ade, Life Coach Ade, 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 you know. I don't know how that happened. I have a rough idea, but when I say my name, then I say it right. Ade, well, actually, that's a whole different conversation. Don't worry about that. Let me bring on Celeste, because she got something to share. Lisa will be joining us real soon, and we're getting ready to go. Whoa, really? Oh, no, wait a minute. What just happened? Oh, I got confused. Sherry Marie. To find out more about Sherry Marie, her website address is Sherry, C-H-E-R-I-M-A-R-E-E, is where you can find out more. And Shea Marie is the love goddess. Ooh, I'm full. And welcome all of you that are listening online and on phone lines, and those of you listening to the archive. All our listeners, thank you for being part of this conversation. And we invite you to share the show so we may grow together. And we trust the process of life. Life is good because everything is as it should be. Celeste, let's bring you on.
Hello, Life Coach Love Day. It. I'm just really? Laughing at just, what am I doing? I'm tapping into the energy of ancestral blueprints. What an amazing show to have today, from blind love to awake love. And I'm tapping into the song that you just played, because of the revival of a love story can mean also the healing of family lines and stories that we've told ourselves about, well, you know, no woman in my family ever really had a great marriage, so I'm not really expecting one either. And I'm feeling like there's some chains that are going to be broken today, chains in our minds, chains in our hearts, and it's also Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year!
Yes, indeed.
We're our Jewish friends celebrating today. It starts this evening. So I'm just like, wow! And we're having ancestral blueprints right now on one of the high holy days. And I tap into all of that. I love it.
I mean, yeah, I really want to say, I don't want to say we should, but we're all part of this. And talk about a new year. It's a new way. The topic is from blind love to awake love. It's a new year, a new moment to see something differently. So, yeah. Yeah, life is good. Life is good.
Yeah, it's getting better.
Indeed it is.
Absolutely. Well, let me break down some of your announcements, because I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Have all of your girls call my girls right now, and Guy, 347-426-3346. We gonna break some strongholds today. Here we go. Hello, family. Welcome to Ancestral Blueprints, from blind love to awake love, with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach today. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I want to give you a little bit more about the Jewish New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah. It is the first of the High Holy Days, and it's a two-day celebration starting today in the evening and ends in the evening of Friday, September 26th. Most folks go to the synagogue, reflect on life, and spend time with family. There's also a lot of really good food to be eaten, including the traditional combo of apples and honey to evoke a sweet new year. It's also just delicious foods of baked beef briskets, potato kugel, or other Jewish cultural foods. Bagels and lox are encouraged. There's also the shofar, a loud bugle-like noisemaker made from a ram's horn. So may all our Jewish brothers and sisters and those who are walking that walk today have a sweet new year indeed. I also got some information about some of the happenings going on with LifeConversationsRadio.com and our hosts. You can find Life Coach Today and Lisa Iverson on the last Wednesday of every month from 12 until 1:30 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss them live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with, so Life Coach Today and Lisa can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. If you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Just be sure to create a new posting, because we really want to make sure we get to you. And if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you'll see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. We get your questions like that, too. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Upcoming guests include Reverend Linda Boyd on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show next Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern, discussing self-care for caregivers. Make sure you catch Life Coach Today on his other home, 12radio.com, on Soul Food for Your Consciousness, and I'll be his guest doing readings. And then tomorrow, I'm becoming an honorary psychic sister with the Psychic Sisters on 12radio at 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll be sure to keep you posted. You can also find out more about our other shows on Life Conversations by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Day.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you very much, Les. Let's jump right on in. Talking about from blind love to awake love. Hello, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Happy to be with both of you and with everybody who's with us, either live or listening to the archive. And just really grateful for our time together. Yeah. Glad
mm-hmm.
to be here.
Yeah. At the beginning of the show, I'm just really feeling so much energy. And I think we can jump into this because I'm sure, well, I trust that the conversation will loosen us up. Oh, we are talking about from blind love to awake love, ancestral blueprints. Lisa Iverson is the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. Because what we're experiencing right now didn't just start today. It goes way back. And when we become aware, we can do things differently. So what are we going to do, Lisa? We're going to read the description for today's show just to give the listeners an idea of what this is all about, as well as invoking the energy of what we're talking about. And I want to invite you listeners to share the show, you know, have a dialogue about it after the show, what you think. And there's a lot of people saying, we just can't find the right man. Oh, the right man, are either gay or in jail. Stop it. Don't blame the men. I don't know what the men said. Now, well, I guess generally speaking, let me stop. Let me get off there. Let's read the description. Yes, on the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, the theme is fall in love. So we just kind of, you know, just life happens and everything just works together. And so we're keeping that sub-theme of love and what it means and the love that goes beyond just romance and the love of romance, love with family members. So here's the description. We continue our theme of fall in love to explore how ancestral blueprints impact our human relationships as they appear in our friendships and our romantic connections. How we see each other has a lot more to do with the primary relationships we experienced in our families and even our ancestral lines. Through whose eyes are you looking when you look at your partner, your spouse, marriage, partnership, your mother's, your father's, your grandmother, your grandfather's, your own? If you are single and prefer not to be, is there anyone in your family or ancestry who had difficulty in or loss of relationships with whom you are in resonance? Just breathe on that. Take that in and feel that description. I'm just going to throw it over to Lisa Iverson.
Yeah, thank you for reading the description. It's good for me to say, as I hear it, that, you know, this is a description, the essence of it, that I wrote for a couples retreat that I'm leading next month in October here in the Northwest. And it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing for us to have our time together today to really acknowledge the complexity of mm-hmm. partnership. And so, you know, the thing that I want to begin with is how,
you know, all of us can consider when we're, whether we're in partnership or not, if we are in one or if we're not, but just when we think about it,
mm-hmm.
our parents' relationship with each other comes with us. Our parents' relationship, whether they were married or not, their relationship with one another, our biological mother, our biological father, their relationship with one another comes with us wherever we go, everywhere we go in life, including in the partnership experience. So too does our grandparents' relationships with each other. Their partnerships come with us. So just this image is a good place for us to really begin our conversation, just to consider this. How could it be otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
How could it be otherwise? We cannot, as much as our minds might say otherwise, you know, our bodies, it's like it's in our DNA. Our parents'
yes.
relationship with one another, our grandparents, you know, all the ones who came before them, it's in our body, it's in our soul. And so, you know, the blessing of just seeing that is, I mean, I just want to check with you first, you know, you know, as well as Celeste, you know, anybody else who's in conversation, just this, because there's no need for us to get ahead of ourselves and to get into a whole bunch of ideas that are ahead of where we are right now. So, what do you notice just when I say that?
It's a, well, you know, as you say it, as you were talking, I feel like you were bringing me back to myself. And I feel this, not necessarily a surge of energy, very present to what that means, what that looks like. I found myself thinking of a conversation I had with a friend about a year ago or so, and she was talking about things that she does now that her father used to do, and she doesn't understand why she's doing those things, and didn't quite see the connection. And then there was a group of us, actually, and we were sharing with her, reflecting back to her what she was telling us, and that, can you see, because she was adamant, but I didn't grow up with him. I never was around him. I said, but he lives in you. And that was a little bit challenging, and because there are people saying, I don't know my mother, I don't know my father, I don't care about them. But the idea to just think, you know, it's beyond an idea. The truth, to just remind ourselves that our experience with our parents lives in us. I know my story, and I find that my story, my experience rather than my story, my experience with my parents when I was younger, some of those things still show up. They're part of my, you know, I'll call them my coach. They keep me going to the gym of life to stay awake. Because sometimes something that I think my mother should have done or didn't do, or what my father should do or doesn't do, still show up in this adult body. And I often say, I know you've heard me say, that if we really take time to think of this, what we're talking about, that the experience that we have with our parents has an influence on us, affects us, they live in us, I really believe we'll be more compassionate with ourselves. We'll be very compassionate with ourselves to say, you know, some of these things just live in my DNA. It's not avoidance. It's just recognizing what is.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. And it breeds a kind of a humility that's a tremendous gift for ourselves and for our partners.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's often a missing humility in life and in relationship, in partnership, that the absence of it can create quite a lot of pain.
And, you know, confusion and power struggle, all these kinds of things. So this recognition of our parents' relationship with one another living in us, you know, the degree to which as a daughter or a son we are able to receive life from both of our parents has everything to do with then this idea of whose eyes am I looking through when I'm looking at my partner or when I'm looking at partnership or marriage. Because, you know, the reality is if we're in an argument about, you know, it's, if we're in an argument about, oh, I wish I would have had a different father, or I wish I would have had a different mother, or if we're in an argument that really is their argument with each other about their relationship with each other, if we're in any of those arguments, guess what? We're going to have a partnership that's full of a lot of argument. So, yeah, it's really, and the argument could, you know, it's, saying less is really saying more with this and all the conversations.
The
space to be with these statements is as much of a blessing as the words that are there to hear or to receive. So, go ahead.
You know what? You can sense me, right? You know what I appreciate about, with this conversation is, well, yes. I'm going to own it. I'm not going to say people don't, or because I don't know what people are doing. I'm too caught up in my world. I don't often hear conversation like this, even in spiritual communities, only when it is really about indigenous wisdom or there's a shaman. We will often talk about if someone was abused or the mother didn't do anything, the father was there, or the mother had a different boyfriend, and how that is affecting an adult woman today or even an adult man. If they were adopted or those kind of things we talk about. But just simply talking about whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent, that the experience that we have with our parents, even if they were not around, even if, I'm talking about the biological parents, if we're not raised by them, it still has an influence how we look at our own partnership, our own relationships. And and you said earlier, you said, well, saying less is better. And it's true, because when I'm talking about it, it's not necessarily beating the dead horse, but it seems like not, we don't have to say much about it, even though we have a show that ends at 1:30. So we do that physical thing. But like most of the shows, this is a show to really experience. And I don't really have a question. I know we're going to get a caller in a minute, go to a caller, and Celeste is going to be joining us. But I just want to, you know, just pass it back to you, Lisa.
I think there's a lot of truth in that about you not hearing much conversation like this except in Indigenous circles, and I see that as well. You know, having, for those who don't know this, I've been a psychotherapist for 20-some years, and I'm grateful for what I've received and what I have received, yeah, from this profession. And I also see the damage that is done unknowingly, unintentionally, by our emphasis on psychological lens. We're a bit out of balance in Western culture, in the States for sure. We have so much psychological understanding, it is perhaps disconnecting us unintentionally from life source. So psychological health, psychological ways of thinking about relationship and partnership are not a replacement for receiving life from our parents and from our grandparents. So, and all the ones who came before. And so, you know, it's quite a time that we're living in where we have all this information available to us from both the old ways, indigenous wisdom, and contemporary Western ways of thinking about things. It's a lot of information. And so there's, for me, I would say a real irreplaceable blessing, you know, that comes from going back to source, taking some time outs, really, from all the information that we have for the head about things through a psychological perspective. Not that we throw them out, not that we disregard them, but that we set them aside occasionally to be able to, again, access, well, how did life get through in the first place? And in that process, there's a reclaiming in the cells of the wellness of love and the wellness of partnership, that no matter how, you know, no matter what the state of relationship was in our parents' relationship with each other, our grandparents, et cetera, no matter, you know, there may have been enormous distance. Maybe they were together long enough to conceive us and then they never saw each other again. Or maybe they were together for, you know, whatever amount of time, and it was filled with violence. Maybe, you know, everything in between, all the different ways there are being in relationship. But the reality is that in the middle of however it was, life got through to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this whole idea of whose eyes are we looking through, and how there can be argument in relationship, you know, to be able to access underneath all of that, again, this truth around just simply receiving, that partnership, all the partnerships that came before us resulted in life getting passed through to us. So lots of different things to say and to consider with this topic. I'm guessing there might be some people in the conversation with us today, or maybe who listen to it in the future, where there was arguing. Because I wasn't really, that idea of argument wasn't something in the description itself, but it is the first, you know, I'm aware that I'm using that word. So there's a need for visibility of place arguments in relationship and how it influences things. Yeah.
Thank you. And we're going to take a call. We're going to go to Christina. And, you know, we also must, if you're listening to this and it's hitting you for the first time, I would suggest that you don't have to figure out, now that I know this, then what? Before you even try to, quote unquote, fix, just receive the new awareness. Just let it settle and let it speak to you, because oftentimes we jump into the head, oh, really? Okay, so let me see. You know, we start going down the line and trying to analyze. Just let the awareness do what it needs to do. We got Christina from Arizona. She got a great question. Hello, Christina. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Say hello to Lisa Iverson.
Hello, and thank you guys for taking my call.
Hello.
I was adopted, and I was wondering, how does that fit in? And I didn't find out until I was probably like 14. And both of my adopted parents have passed away. And I know nothing about my biological parents. I know nothing really about them. So I was just wondering what you have on that.
Yeah, thank you for calling. It's a very common family configuration, adoption. The place of both adoptive parents and birth parents, both family systems have a place for a daughter or a son who has been adopted. So even when, as it sounds like the case is for you, where you don't know your biological parents, they are in you. And so you wouldn't exist, you know, without them. And so in terms of partnership, both biological parents and grandparents, et cetera, and adoptive parents' relationship with each other, they all have a place, they all have an influence in a person's soul and their life.
Okay, I understand that, but I'm just wondering, like, I don't even know how to explain what I'm thinking. Like, how do they have a place in my life when I know nothing? I mean, I know they do because, you know, through my soul and through everything, like, I was, you know, they're the ones that created me. But how do they have a place in me when I know nothing about them, except for I know that they were very young when they had me, you know, very, very young. And I don't know if both of them are on drugs or one of them are on drugs. And I know that little bit about them and not much more.
Well, I want to honor the depth of the question that you're asking, the depth, breadth of the topic. I don't want to oversimplify. I don't want to, you know, make a comment or, you know, give an answer of some kind that oversimplifies it. I can tell you a little bit what I have seen quite consistently through the experience of the family constellation approach, systemic constellations, which is the field of work that I have been steeped in for many years, that we can give you some places to read about this work. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. Have you heard of this work before?
No, but I'm interested. I'm like, I was listening to you, and
yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. This approach really, I have seen consistently, can be so supportive of a person being able to honor, claim, receive from both families, both you know, biological and adoptive families. It's so much not in the head. It is so much more in the soul and in the body. One of the consistent thing that comes through that approach is that there's an influence, often unconscious, how one's adoptive parents and one's biological parents regard each other acknowledge each other, and that the sense of this approach, the constellation approach, also gives a way for there to be a way that both sets of parents, all of them can also be recognized, but how they can recognize each other, that can be a real gift for the daughter or son. So I would, as a next step, I would really invite you to read a bit about this approach online. If you, I don't know what geographic area you're in. Can you say what area you're calling from?
Tucson.
From Tucson. I have some colleagues in Tucson. If you want to get my, if you want to email me, I'm happy to refer you to colleagues in your geographic area for you to, if you would like to check out this approach, it could be a something to consider.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, Christina, while you're listening, and when we take a break, you can go to one of Lisa's websites. It is Family Constellations, as in stars, or the planet, galaxy, Family Constellations with a S, west.com, familyconstellationswest.com. And you can definitely reach Lisa through there. But the question you're asking, as Lisa said, it comes from a deep place and there's more to it. I've participated in the Family Constellations, and I would just say, understand that there's so much more going on behind the scenes of our consciousness than the conscious mind is even aware of. And the Family Constellations, so for me anyway, brought awareness to what I can't see with my physical eyes, or what I can't think. Well, you know, just in, my logical mind can't even handle it. It's a soul experience, and I think you should check it out. And I'm going to go out and say it will bring you some answers. I want to say a lot of answers, but I was playing small. You will get a lot of answers because it's just such a powerful approach for honoring our lineage, whatever the story is. All right, Christina.
Okay, then. Thank you very much. And you guys have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you for the question, because I'm sure a lot of people can relate to it. And we're having a soul conversation. We're taking you back behind the scenes. We're moving off. We're pulling you back to get off the stage a little bit. I'm not talking to Christina. I'm talking to all of us. Well, we're pulling back from the stage of life and think we have to show up or play a role, to come back behind the scenes and really look at what is my line, what is my journey, why am I here, why am I who I am, how am I showing up as this. That's what Ancestral Blueprints is about. I want to bring on Celeste, and then we'll probably have time to talk about, maybe break down the whole thing about blind love and awake love. Celeste, join us. Will you ease, Celeste? There she is.
Hello, Lisa. Hi, Life Coach today.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm getting so much from this conversation. There's part of me, and then there's the intellect. I'm going to go with the heart part first, because what I have noticed about my evolving into who I am is that there were certain stories that I was not gifted when I was a child about my father. I knew very little about him because of breakdown and pain in the family, and I was kept away on purpose from my father's side of the family. So when my mother transitioned at the age of 35, I was finally able to connect with him and ask the questions that I had been asking. Now, that didn't really help that much. And what I mean by that is, I mean, of course, it always helps to get information from your parents. But I expected that, well, okay, now that I have this information about my father and I understand how I was brought into the world, that I wasn't an accident, that I was actually a planned event that helped me emotionally, but it hasn't helped me navigate the energy, the family ancestral energy of not being able to trust on a heart level. And from my heart, my question is, when you have seen examples of pain, even if you're not even aware of it, even if it's unconscious, I mean, I knew that there was this sense of, I need to protect my daughter, so I need to keep her away.
Mm-hmm.
And that just continues to grow into not just your father, but therefore I need to stay away from other people and stay out of romantic relationships because mm-hmm. I need to protect myself too.
Yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm.
Is that me performing blind love?
Yes. Yep. It's a beautiful example of it. And it's I really appreciate your risking your heart vulnerability in the conversation spirit.
Mm.
And it's a really common one. It's a kind of a, it's a daughter's loyalty to her mom.
Mm.
And that often, I don't know what the circumstances are or were, but often it's like it didn't begin with that generation. It goes back to the generations before, you know, the circumstances. There are always circumstances. There are contexts where these patterns or these movements arise from. They're there for a reason. But the movement often gets going, and then it gets passed on from one generation to the next. The pattern gets passed on that says, oh, the daughter has to protect the mother has to protect the daughter. But underneath that, there's often it's often the opposite is true, where it's really the mother that needs protecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's for good reason too, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all there for a reason. For the person in your position now, it's the movement in the soul and in life is to, with respect and with gratitude to your mom for passing life on, because you wouldn't be here without her. No other mother could have had you. No, you know, without exactly the mother you had, you wouldn't exist. So it's very important to maintain, to grow this. I mean, I can sense it's already there in you, but it's, you know, sometimes it's not as easily there for a person because of all that's happened. To be able to give back to one's mom, again, this is their eyes, to give them back their eyes with how they look at relationship and with how they look at how they look at your dad,
mm-hmm.
so that you can look at him through your own eyes. The reality is, daughters and sons, we look at our parents, we look at each parent through the eyes of the other parent. That's how it's life force. That's how could it be otherwise? Because they're both in us. It's just, it's in our soul, it's in our DNA. So we look at our fathers through our mother's eyes, we look at our mothers through our father's eyes. And so this is just a natural thing. And then depending on how they looked at each other has everything to do with how we look at them, and then that influences how we look at our adult partnership field. So I just want to pause and just check in with you how that's all landing with you.
It's landing on fertile ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I see way too many players and pimps in my life. I get where those eyes I'm looking through. And I see vulnerability and fear through my father's eyes. not, mm-hmm. you know, just directed at, you know, my mom. Like, mm-hmm. he didn't really, he loved women a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A
mm-hmm.
lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I can't say he always respected them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see when you said that, you really gave me the tools to be like, okay, because
mm-hmm.
I do, I can't even help it. I have this, well, I can help it because I can make a choice in which eyes I'm going to see through. But
mm-hmm.
unconsciously, I would scope anybody, significant other, out
mm-hmm.
and catch every play. And I always laugh and go, oh, look at those dark magicians, those little pimps. And that goes across the board, and it transcends gender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because if you're looking at me, I'm looking at you through my mother's eyes, I'm looking at my father. And so
yeah.
you'll play, period. Mm-hmm. Even if you're the sweetest person on earth, somewhere inside of me, I'm like, how you going to play me?
Mm-hmm.
And then it plays
mm-hmm.
out over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So there's
and
a drive.
And they do.
Yeah. Completely. Well, and there's a drive to, there's a really deep drive in all families to repeat a pattern.
Yes.
To repeat the pattern, you know, it's bigger than all of us, you know. And it is, that's the blind love process, trying to get truth made visible, trying to get the truth mm-hmm. and trying to get belonging restored. So there's a really, it's not in the mind, it's in the soul, this pattern, this drive that says if the pattern gets repeated, then everybody that the pattern originated from, that their place of belonging is restored. So the men and the women all belong. This is the, you know, a partnership maybe with between a man and a woman, between a woman and a woman, between a man and a man. The women and the men, they all belong. They all belong. And you know, often in life, you know, in partnership, there's been, again, some circumstance that has been painful. And then there's this impulse to reject.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a... to reject the other, and in that process of rejection, there's exclusion, and belonging gets compromised. The soul is really clear with all the things that happen in partnership, including these places where there's been pain and loss, that belonging still exists.
Hmm.
You know, and so we really, it's one of the many gifts with the experience of the constellation work in a circle of this method, that we get to see how much we need each other to bring forth these images from humanity. And so as a daughter, as a son, to be able to have this unfolding awareness, as you're describing in yourself, of, you know, okay, well, this is how my mother looked at my father, this is how my father looked at my mother, it includes a withdrawal from their relationship with each other. It includes getting out of their business. So there can be often a daughter or a son, even when their parents have died, that a daughter or a son is involved in the soul, in their psyche, in their parents' marriage, in their parents' relationship. And then that doesn't leave life force energy for adult partnership, because they're still involved in their uh-huh. parents' relationship. You know, so there's this uh-huh. other really important piece with that. that's a big movement to really fully withdraw from a parent's relationship with each other. For many, many people, that's like a full-time job and they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
So my takeaway is to get out my parents' business.
Exactly. Getting out of your parents' business. Getting out of your parents' business is totally respectful of them. It's a statement that says, okay, you know, your relationship with each other came before me, so it restores that fundamental clarity about what came first and what came second. And it also says, you know, that the ancestors who came before them are the best ones to support them if they need it.
Yes.
And so it really, it's so respectful, and it really promotes receiving life that's yours to live. We can't redo our parents' relationship with each other. It's just not possible. It's not necessary. You know, that's another piece of the blind love process, is we think that, oh, if I just do whatever differently, like, that's going to change history.
Thank you. You're so welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Celeste. That is a gift, because I know that there are a lot of people who could relate to that. And stories like that makes it real. You know, when they say the blank just got real. Yeah, because when we hear other stories, it does something. I know for me, when I hear people's story, it opens me up. And, you know, the part about, you know, you getting out of one's parents' business, like, your business is your business. And we're talking about, this is Ancestral Blueprints. The theme, the topic is From Blind Love to Awakened Love. And Lisa, when we come back, we've talked, and you can talk more about the blind love too, but I want to talk about the awake love, but more in this sense. There are some people who would say, well, I understand I need to get out my parents' business, but Life Coach Ade, Lisa, you don't understand. My father was really mean to my mother, or my mother was really mean to my father, and they needed somebody who can stand by them. So I just think it's wrong. I can't. No, my mother was wrong, or my father was wrong. And there's almost, there's this sort of blind love tied to really what people won't want to duplicate in their world. They don't want that to happen in their relationship, but somehow there is a mental, maybe emotional, I don't know, justification of why that experience needs them to stand where they are rather than giving it back to the mother or giving it back to the father. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you bet.
Okay. Cool. I want to talk about that when we come back. We are taking your call. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. Yours truly, I am that I am. The theme, the topic is From Blind Love to Awake Love. And even if you're single and you say, well, I'm glad I'm single, I don't have to deal with that. Not true. Nobody gets left behind. You don't even need a law for this. Everybody. You just can't get left behind. Because the soul is all inclusive. And we're having a soul conversation. Join in, share your comments, share your questions. We are going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
What will you do while you wear this earth suit? That's the question.
Gary Zukav, author of the phenomenal bestseller The Seat of the Soul, is coming to Hillside International Truth Center Saturday, October 4th, with Creating Authentic Power. Doors open at 9 a.m. and at 3 p.m. An intimate talk and music with Grammy and Tony Award winner Jennifer Holiday, Soul Saturday at Hillside, October 4th. One ticket, two monumental events. Get tickets now at hillsideinternational.org.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
I'm tired of running from my life.
Hello, family. I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, that's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord void of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
And we are supporting you on that journey to be the change you want to see. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson, the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in America's Soul. We got the ancestors speaking through Lisa on her phone. They're trying to say something. So we're paying attention. And Lisa's also a psychotherapist, and she is someone who is, I am grateful for our connection. She listens deeply, a wonderful facilitator of family constellations. And if you ever get a chance, if you have a thought, say, maybe I should do it, I say go ahead and do it. And if you can't get to where Lisa is, there are many people across the country who does it, and Lisa will be happy to direct you. You can find out more about Family Constellations by going to familyconstellationswest.com, familyconstellationswest.com. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you.
Ooh, awesome. Yeah, let's talk about, you know, I want to get out my parents' business, but you just don't understand. My dad was mean to my mother. I know that's blind love, but my mother was mean to my father. They're very soft. They needed me to stand by them. I want to step into awake love, but Lisa, my mother is too mean. My father is too mean. I don't understand. What should I do? Dramatizing an imagined question.
Yeah. Well,
said, go ahead and keep doing it.
I know that's right.
I mean, you know, it's really, you know, there's a deep, I think I say that also, you know, a bit to speak, but also with,
right,
with the real truth, it is this acknowledging what is kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to make changes when we accept how things are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So really accepting that, you know, a person's impulse about any situation, but in this context, accepting if there's a drive to continue, you know, protecting or resisting acceptance of life, you know, that's kind of an important thing to see that the result is the same. If a daughter or a son is in a relationship with their parents where they feel they have to protect them from the other parent or from anything else, or is in rejection toward them, that there's a sense of blame toward them, the result is the same.
Mm.
You know, the result is that there's a blockage in simply receiving. Receiving life. And so, you know, those experiences, again, they're there for a reason. There's usually been some context of trauma, you know, violence in the system, either in that immediate family circumstance or earlier in the generations, and it kept getting passed down. It's a big thing to recognize one's own helplessness over, you know, particularly from that child place, you know, that children really are helpless to the parents' circumstance. So, you know, it takes, that's a shift to really claim one's own. But again, it's a humility. It breeds humility to be able to say, okay, it's true, I am helpless. I was helpless, or I am helpless over whatever the dynamics were, whatever the circumstance was. But when a person can, and this is where I think, again, more than ever, we need one another in relationship to help each other just be witness to those shifts. It's hard to do that by oneself. You know, really.
Yes.
I think we really do. I'm a broken record about this, but I just think we need each other more than ever. There is a lot of isolation in this part of the world. The focus on the individual is so extreme.
So
I think kind of group that, I mean, for me, the constellation group experience is such a blessing that it helps us again to reclaim, to see these pockets of family experience, to see the truth of them that often goes unacknowledged. And so that then it can promote this kind of a shift in acknowledging what hasn't been acknowledged, but then receiving life force. And so it's not, you know, I like to encourage a kindness toward oneself and toward others, you know, that doesn't happen in a day or in a week, but that it can happen. I mean, I just have seen it over and over how much these shifts really can happen.
So those are
that come off the top of my head and the tip of my heart to say in response to what you just said.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when Celeste was talking as well, what was coming up for me is really we've got to be willing to do the work. Sometimes it's easier to think, okay, now I get it. I'm just going to get at my parents' business. That's it. Then I'm going to be free, and then I can recreate my relationship. But if the shift is not happening on a deeper level, then that's just a head job. That's just a head game. And we must be willing to do the work, because really, for me, I believe that's what life is about. We're here to bring healing, bring wholeness. Wholeness and healing, well, wholeness already exists. This kind of conversation, when we get into therapy, when we get into family constellations, when we get into healing modalities that take you back into yourself, we get to allow the wholeness to reveal itself. And this is what this conversation is about. You know, you talk about we need each other, we keep saying it. Yeah, that's because we do. Because oftentimes there's another conversation that, you know, you need to be by yourself and do your own thing. You know, from a higher consciousness, I get it. Because at the end of the day, nobody can really make you happy unless you make the choice to be happy. But on a lower consciousness, it becomes this greed and selfishness. Like, stay away from me. Yeah, I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm a self-made millionaire. Self-made? Really? Who? You mean self-made? All this kind of languaging that we use. It's very important for us to see that life is, it's more than just what we can gain materially and the titles and being, it's that and more, being a mother, being a father, and really looking at the life that is moving through us and how it's showing up as us. And whenever we don't want to let go, especially if we're saying it's not working but we refuse to let go, you may want to ask yourself, what are you trying to avoid by holding on? Because oftentimes people are hiding or afraid of something because they think, if I let go, this is going to happen. And when you let go, you get to have a new reality. You get to have a new reality. We are we're getting close to releasing the show. If you have any questions or comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears that you want to share, and we can support you on your transformation journey, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346, and make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And we want to thank all of you that are listening, and those of you that shared the show, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Linda, thank you for sharing the show. as we get closer to releasing the show, Lisa, I just wanted to ask you, maybe, unless you're feeling something else, maybe just a summary or a short definition to go back over what blind love is and what awake love is, and something about trust. I don't know what it is yet, but if you know what it is, it's like I'm hearing something about trust. So let's talk about, you know, trying to trust the game. And because trust sometimes is like the bridge from going from blind, for me, the way I look at it, from blind love to awake love, there needs to be an element of trust. So if you can just talk a little bit about blind love and awake love, so we leave knowing clearly what it is we're learning in class today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's generally blind love. It's a way of either continuing a pattern of some kind in the family that is just continuing a pattern that we might not otherwise even realize that we're continuing. It also refers to being in resonance with somebody who, again, it's often really unconscious, where we're trying to carry something that belongs to somebody else in the family. It's really common between daughters and sons and their parents and their grandparents, this way that we can, out of blind love, try to carry suffering, burden, fate that isn't ours. So the movement to awake love says that what belongs to other people, our parents or grandparents, for example, belongs to them, and that they're the best ones to carry it, not us. and that our fate is different from theirs. And it's about restoring everybody's place of belonging is theirs to be in. That includes ours. So if we're sometimes more than we could imagine living some aspect of our life from this place of a, so say we had a grandmother who had a broken heart, you know, she had whatever happened in her relationship life, and we're keeping her company in the soul, in our soul, having a pattern of relationship after relationship of having broken hearts, it's a kind of a blind love resonance with our grandmother. That's just one example to kind of illustrate what I'm saying. So the movement of awake love says, it recognizes that our grandmother then, in that case, she's the best one to carry what belongs to her. It's not our task to carry her broken heart. It's not going to help her. It's not going to change her fate if we repeat that pattern. And so this movement, this blind to awake love movement, also, again, it's calling forth this ancestral support and presence that comes from before and behind our grandmother in this example. You know, that they're the best ones. Support her if she needs it, not us. The direction of life, the flow of life goes from, you know, ancestors, grandparents, through to us. It doesn't flow the opposite way, you know. It doesn't. It doesn't. Life doesn't flow. Children giving life to their parents, giving life to their grandparents. So, so it's another way to kind of see blind love is operating when children, when the younger generation, is trying to give back in some way to the elders to help them in some way. This is different than, so if anybody's in a context of caregiving with an elder, that's a different situation than what I'm talking about. So that's another.
Right.
So just clarify that, because that's often a question that comes up. Does that address, does that feel like that gives clarity to that question?
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad you asked.
It does, and, you know, as we've said several times, is to really sink into this conversation, it takes a, there's a shift need to happen on a deeper level. So what I would want to encourage anybody who's finding this conversation is if maybe it triggered you, maybe it sounds interesting, research more. The fact that you're listening, something in your soul wanted you to hear this conversation. And that's how healing is done. I mean, the two things came up when you said, keeping your ancestors' company in the soul. That's an interesting visual. And then I thought of the example that's often used when you're in a plane. They tell you, you know, something happens in the cabin, the parent must first put the oxygen on, and just like before they put in their children. You love your children, but they say put the oxygen mask on yourself first. So in this case, it's like when we allow people, let me finish the thought. When we, in this case, to stay awake, to stay alive, to stay present, give yourself the oxygen of life to say, this is my life. What my grandparents, what my parents deal with, what they deal with, that's what they dealt with. And it's not an attitude of I don't care. It's recognizing your place in the ancestral line. You have to be in full integrity to hold up the structure of your lineage. If you, as a pillar of that structure, is not strong enough because you're trying to carry this and carry that, then we're not present. So, the question is, how are you keeping your ancestors' company in the soul? Woo! Lisa, Unless you have anything else to say you want to share with listeners, once again, tell us about the retreat you're doing. Is it next month? And maybe people in your neck of the woods, or maybe somebody wants to travel down there, they just know they got to be there. Could you tell our listeners about the retreat?
Yeah, you bet. It's a one-day retreat in a nature-based setting here in the Northwest. If anybody is, the name of the city is in Bellingham, Washington. It's situated between Seattle and Vancouver, B.C. The date of it is Sunday, October 19th. It's an all-day retreat. People can email me for details. I could give that now, or we could give
at
the end.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You can give
people
it now.
Could just, mm-hmm. People could just email me directly at Lisa Iverson, Iversen, at yahoo.com, and I can give them more details. Mm-hmm. So it's a very experiential way to access many of the things that we're talking about. So informed by the family constellation work, we'll have a day of being able to experientially access how much these bigger family maps are informing us in partnership mm-hmm. and full relationship, and how to access this, you know, movement, this blind love to awake love process, so that we can move more clearly into presence and awake perspective in partnership, if whether the person is in partnership or people who are single are also welcome. The theme of the day does have to do with how to receive life and look at partnership through one's own eyes. So I'm grateful for our conversation, and I trust that the ripples continue to go out in ways our minds can't understand. But thank mm-hmm. you, to you, Ade, and to Celeste, and to all of us.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Deep gratitude.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, indeed. It's the feeling is mutual. We truly, 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 truly need each other, and because we are each other. Yeah, I think we're complete. Lisa, thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for showing up for, you know, you do retreats and workshops that really, that goes deep. You did a workshop in a retreat, actually a monthly thing, called the, Internalized Colonizer series.
Yes.
You know, you go to the heart of the matter. So I'm grateful to know you. I'm grateful for the work you do. Because everyone who gets to experience themselves fully adds to this beautiful planet of ours. So thank you for contributing to making this world a better place.
You're welcome, and thank you back at you. Thanks. I look forward to next month.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Talk to you later, Lisa.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Life is good. It's getting better. I know, and I stand for each and every one of us, those of you listening live and archive, that this conversation is shifting you as you listen, that something is happening for you so that you could be more present with yourself and your loved ones, be it in the romance or just people at work. We've said it over and over, and I'm going to say it again. We need each other. When we recognize that we are each other, we won't even have a thought of going to war with one another. We won't even have a thought to war with ourselves internally. And that somebody else's pain literally becomes ours. We ask ourselves, how can we add? How can we assist their journey? We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. I'm in deep gratitude. Make sure you join Ambassador tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the play experience with Ambassador Safira. On Sunday, we have Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. And I'm back on Monday for the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, where we're talking about self-care for the caregivers. Ooh, Carly, calm down. Well, that was my fault. We're releasing the show. We started the show with Carly Jackson. Actually, I put a play from the beginning. We released the show with Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook, Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. She said, "We are one. This is a prayer. This is an affirmation. Let your soul be free. Peace and blessings."
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. We are.
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.